First reading, you can see there on the screen, Psalm 1. Just as she comes forward, I just should remind you, Maureen is our parish safeguarding officer. So that means if you ever have a concern that that you think a child is being abused or at risk of being abused, or a vulnerable adult is at risk, Maureen is the first person you should take that concern to. And she will then advise you or seek work out what to do with that information.
Praise God, Church. Our first reading will come from the book of Psalms 1, and that will be page 543 of our Bibles. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. That is the name of the Lord, word of God.
Thank you, Maureen. The second reading is from Colossians chapter 3 in the New Testament. Look at the page number there, 1184. I'm going to read the first 17 verses, though we will actually only really focus on one of the verses in the teaching, but we're going to read the whole of that section to get the context. So, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Well, please keep that passage open We're going to look at it together. Let me pray again the prayer we prayed earlier. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. We ask that you would do that through the reading and thinking of your word, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Steve, I'll switch to the radio. Well, it's our normal practice, those of you who are regular in Dagenham Parish Church, to work through a section of the Bible, a book of the Bible, chapter by chapter, because that's the way the Bible has been given to us from God. He's not given us a book with an A to Z list of topics. And if you've been coming over the last few weeks, you know we've done that with chapters 1 to 9 in the book of Proverbs, week by week, a chapter a week. That seems to me to be a sufficient period for us to look at one book. We're going to come back, God willing, to Proverbs next September. Today we're looking at a single one-off topic, though. We can do that from time to time. The danger, if that was our every week practice, is that we start to avoid the topics we're uncomfortable with. If you're going through Proverbs 1 to 9, you have to teach everything that's in there, even if you'd rather not have had some of those chapters. It's there. However, it is sometimes useful for us to think there is a topic that we need to particularly focus on and seek the Lord's instruction on that. What we've got here, this book is a book written to Christians. It's a letter to the early Christians. It's called Colossians because they lived in a town called Colossae, which is in the ancient Mediterranean world. These people were believers in Jesus. They were already Christians. And what Paul is saying in this chapter is, he's told them, God loves you as you are. You don't have to change to become God's child. He loves you as you are. But God does not leave you as you are. He is changing you if you are his child. He's making you like Jesus. In fact, we see that in the bottom of verse 10. You Christians have put on the new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We're being made new to become like Jesus. God has done this for you. Verse 1, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. God raised Christians to a spiritual association with Jesus. We didn't climb up. He raised us. But now he's done that, we are to let that express, that new life express itself. We're to put it into practice. And most of this section is telling us that. Verse 5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. God loves you just as you are, but God will not leave you just as you are. He has raised you to new spiritual life with Jesus. Therefore, you must get rid of the things that belong to your old earthly nature. And there's a lot of instructions. You probably got lost as I read it. Don't worry. We are going to drill down and look at one of those instructions, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. The word of Christ. That the word or the message of Christ, this is the message of Jesus that these people in this ancient town had heard. It tells people that there is a hope of heaven. The message of Christ tells us of a hope of heaven, and it's a gift for all who will put their trust in Jesus. It's not a message about me. It's not about a message about how much we must do in church to improve ourselves. It's not a message about how I can make my life the way I want it. It's a message about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the one who came into the world, who died a terrible death so that others could be forgiven. He is now in heaven and he will come back to judge all people. That is the message. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer yet in Jesus, that is where you need to start. with hearing this information about the Lord Jesus and coming to understand who he is and what he has done. Please don't think that being a Christian is about us trying to be good people. It starts with the message of Jesus, the message of Christ. What should we do with that message? Verse 16, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let it dwell among you richly. If I come to your house and you're very generous and you say, Joel, make yourself at home. You don't actually mean that. What you mean is, Joel, you know, get a cup and put the kettle on and make a cup of tea and sit down. But when you come to my house, I am at home. And you see the furniture is put the way I want it. And it's my shoes that are by the front door. And it's my toothbrush that's in the bathroom. My favourite biscuits in the tin. Because I dwell there. Let the word of Christ dwell richly. I've got an illustration from our home. You saw my daughter Sophie come to the front earlier. Sophie, do you know what's in this? No, she probably doesn't know. Well, this has come out of our garage. You might see it's covered in dust. Inside here, do you know what's in there, Sophie? She doesn't know. So, these are things that her brothers used to play with, some Lego technical stuff. This doesn't dwell richly in our family. She doesn't know what was in there. This is something that's in the house where she lives, but it's tucked away in a cupboard, gathering dust. But we all know what one of these are. These dwell richly in our lives, don't they? We all have these out, those of us who own them. We had them out in our family when we were talking. Karen and Sophie both got their phone. I said a question, and they said, let's check this on the phone. We've had messages to and from each other. What's the Bible? What is the message of Christ like in your family, in your life? Is it like this? Or is it like this? Is it tucked away, gathering dust? Maybe you come to church, you hear, you go, you forget. Or is it something that you're using several times a day and it's guiding you and informing you? Oh dear. Let the word of God grow richly among you. Now, that doesn't mean being religious fruitcakes. It's not that I go to Teresa and say, how are you today, Teresa? And she says, oh, the peace of the Lord be with you, Joel. You know, it's not just using Christian words all the time. The words in the Bible are not magic words. They're not spells that we can just use to make things happen. God is a living person. And the living God uses human words to communicate to us. And when we use human words, we mean people to understand them, don't we? To hear them, to listen, to understand and to think. Not just to say them like la 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 la, empty words, empty noises. They're words with meaning. That's what it means for them to dwell in us richly. We should be trying to change our lives. Because we're not yet perfect. If you're perfect, you're in the wrong place. You should be with Jesus and dead. Okay? You're not perfect. None of us are perfect. We should be aiming to get rid of the things that belong to our old life and to practice the things that belong to people who are Jesus's. To escape from the power of the lies from our old life, the lies that Satan loves to tell us, and to live by the truth of Jesus. And one of the things God gives for this is the word of God, the message of Christ. These are powerful words to change us because they were written by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is still speaking them. So when we're reading the Bible, we're not just reading something the Holy Spirit thought a long time ago, we are engaging with what the Holy Spirit says now. But we're not really seeking that help, are we? If we come to church, we read it, we shut it, and then we forget it. Or if that's what you do in the week, perhaps you might read your Bible and then forget it. And the problem is, in Dagenham today, our lives are so full of activity, of news. We've got worries, we've got responsibilities, we've got family concerns. Information coming at us all the time, people we have to deal with, we very quickly forget the word of Christ, the message of Christ, and get swamped. So what we're trying to think about this morning from these words is how we can do that, how we can let the message of Christ dwell in us richly, be like a telephone, not like a box that's hidden in a cupboard gathering dust. And that's going to change us, isn't it? So we have truth that we're thinking about rather than garbage. All the garbage that's around us on the internet, on the adverts, on the TV, what people are saying often. If garbage goes into our minds, garbage will come out in our lives. If God's word goes into our minds, God's word should start to affect our life and our speech and what we do. So look again at verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Among you. Not just in your own personal life, privately, in your room at home, but among us here, us believing people. The word of Christ should dwell richly amongst us. The group we're part of has a very big influence on us. If this is a church full of mature, growing Christians, it helps those of us who are not mature yet to start to be like that. If this is a church where hardly anyone ever prays, well, it's easy for everyone to be prayerless, isn't it? We affect each other. This is what this verse is reminding us of. So I picked this topic because I don't think we're doing it particularly well. The one thing we do organise as a church, apart from Sundays, to try and help us with this is the growth groups midweek. And not many of us get to those. Those of us who go know that in the growth groups, we read the Bible, we consider the passage, we ask questions, we talk about how it should affect our lives. The young adults who come to the once a month lunch, we do the same sort of thing. And those in those groups, we're learning in those groups, and we know we could do better. I know some people can't get to those groups. If that's you, you need to think, how can I make this happen in my life in another way? And I've got some thoughts in a bit about that. Social media and YouTube preachers, they might be a good snack for you, but really God's word in our conversations and our thinking, that should buy our meals three times a day. Yeah, social media and YouTube videos, maybe it's a snack once in a while. That's not a healthy diet for you as a believer. It needs to be that the word of God is in your conversations with one another. So try coming to a growth group. Stella came for her first time this week and contributed. You can give it a try. If it doesn't work for you, don't come back. But we need to do something. That the message of Christ will dwell in us richly. Let's look again at the verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. What are we to do? As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. All wisdom is a phrase through this letter to the Colossian Christians that comes up several times. It means the truth of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. If you come to know God, you come to be truly wise. You learn to live truly in God's world. And we're to teach and admonish. That means reminding each other of our beliefs. And sometimes warning others that their beliefs are wrong and their actions are wrong. That's the admonishing side. You might speak up to say, if we admit to one another, I get things wrong. And I've made a mistake there. That's a reminder for us all of the message of Christ that we're sinners and we don't get everything right. That can be helpful. If we speak up to say, God has loved us, and that is a tremendous encouragement to me this week in all the busyness I've had and all the troubles, that's an encouragement. And I might not be the person to say that. You might need to say that to me to encourage me. We have big questions in our lives. What should I do about guilt for the wrong that I've done? How can I get on with a person who doesn't seem to want to talk to me or that I have upset. And in the message of Christ, we can help each other answer these questions. Some of the questions in life, people in the West, they're embarrassed to ask, or they think there's no answer, and they think we're stupid to say there is an answer. But we believers can say, there is an answer to the question, why am I here? We know an answer to that. It's not an answer we need to be, a question we have to be scared of. We know an answer to why we're here. We know an answer to what will happen when we die. We don't just have to go to the pub and get drunk because that question scares us. But we don't say these things enough to each other. Let that word, message of Christ dwell richly among us till we can get through. God loves us just as we are, but he will not leave us just as we are. He wants the truth to take hold of our lives so that we live more fully for him. Paul has a particular way that he means us to do this. Look in verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And this is the way he has, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. It's by singing. We do not have music in church. Did you know that? Does that make sense? We don't have music in church. We have singing in church. What's the difference? What's the difference? Singing is words, isn't it? Now, we do sing words with tunes if we're any good at singing. And the instruments help us. But that's what the Bible tells us to have. The Bible doesn't say it's really important when you get together that there's some instruments and we have music. It says when you get together, use words. And you can sing those words. And the music is there for us to sing to. But it's about the singing. We don't come for an event where we enjoy music. The Bible says, come and sing. And so we need the songs that we sing to be true. In this verse, it says, let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you sing. And so sometimes Mark and I will discuss songs, and sometimes we'll say, look, we're not going to sing that song again. We've seen that there's an idea there that's wrong. And that is sometimes true, unfortunately, in the songs that people produce. And so we will not sing those songs. We want words that are true and full of the truth. When you go into schools, and apparently this is happening in university Christian groups now, the songs that are sung there, they do not have the word of Christ in them. The sorts of songs that they're singing are things that, like, Jesus, you're my friend. Jesus, you're my guide. Jesus, you're always there. I'm happy that you're there. Jesus, you're my friend. That doesn't help us learn, does it? It doesn't help those children who are singing to be taught the truth of Jesus. The songs we've sung today, Jesus healed a paralyzed man. He showed his great power. He fed a crowd who had no food to eat. We sung in that song things about Jesus and his greatness. Not just things about me and my life and how Jesus is a helper for me. God is the maker of all things, and God will judge all our lives. We sing things like that because that reminds us of the faith that's in the message of Christ. This is one of the ways that we teach one another and admonish one another with the message of Christ. God is telling you in this sentence to sing in church. So when the person at the front, me or whoever it is, says, let's stand to sing, please do stand to sing, not to listen. Because God is telling you to sing. And the musicians are here just to help us to sing. We're not singing for them. They are playing for our singing. So how do we seek for the Bible to dwell richly among us when we meet? The first way this passage is saying is in our songs. But also we have the reading of the Bible. Maureen read a passage, I read a passage. The teaching of the Bible here and over in Sunday school. And then the praying of the Bible. How can you do this? What will it look like? One good thing is to make the most of the Bible passage that we've looked at on a Sunday. Perhaps so turn the Bible passage we've read on a Sunday into a prayer for you this week. You can pray about this passage, can't you? Lord, please help me to spend more time thinking about your word. Help me to be able to speak about it with friends. Lord, please help us in Dagenham Parish Church on Sunday to sing with gladness in our hearts, like you've told us. You can use these words in a prayer. And the book Sophie recommended has got ideas on that. You could learn a verse from the Bible that we've looked at on a Sunday and keep it with you in the week. Maybe pop it on a piece of paper so it's in your pocket so you can take it out, or in your purse or wherever you keep something like that that's important. A negative thing is spend less time each day listening or watching to the news. For most of us, we spend too much in the news, which is full of the words of the wicked, of sinners and scoffers. It's good for us to know what's happening in the world, to be informed and to pray, but it's not good if our lives start to be shaped by gossip and scandal and trivial things. What we try to do in our household on a Sunday evening or afternoon is to talk a bit about the Bible passage that we've had in church in the morning. That's a way where we're doing it together, not just on our own. That's us talking together. I think I've got this actually on the slide. Aurelia, could you put this up? Here we go. Yeah, singing the word, reading the word, teaching of the Bible, praying of the Bible. That's what we do here on a Sunday. And then the next, here are some practical examples. Pray the verse, memorize, I mean, learn it off by heart, listen to less junk, talk about the church teaching. And one more, put a passage on a board in the kitchen. It might be you've got a whiteboard on your fridge, or you know, the family room. Maybe the kitchen's the family room, maybe the living room's the family room, but you can put a piece of paper up on a shelf if you've got one, or a whiteboard on the wall, and write a Bible verse on it. And then talk about that verse in the family through the week. You need to do something. My suggestions might not fit for you, but God is saying here, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. So try to find something to do. Have a go at one of these. If it doesn't work, come back to me next week and say, Joel, I need a better idea, and I'll try, or talk with someone else. Have you got any better ideas than Joel's? But the Holy Spirit is saying to you right now, you need to do this. There are some reasons that we don't like doing it. Three reasons I'm aware of that we might not want to do this with others. The first is that in the West, we're always being told that religion is a private matter and you don't want to talk about it with others. Well, it's wrong. That's just not true, because Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's very important that everyone knows about this. And so we shouldn't be afraid to talk. And those of you from some of the African cultures here, this is less of an issue in your culture. You're more forthright in talking. But in the West, we tend to be pushed to a private attitude towards things. Second is, you might be quite a quiet person. Naturally and comfortably, you think things through on your own, not with others. And God loves people who are like that. But you also need to learn there are times when it's good for us to interact with others. Being an introvert is not wrong, but it's not good to let that be an excuse to avoid doing what the word says here. And a third reason we might find this difficult is sometimes it goes wrong when someone does this to us. Someone might have a Bible verse and they think, oh, I'll go and tell Donna about that, and they pick the wrong Bible verse. You know, it's true, but it doesn't really fit her situation. And they use it like a hammer, or they speak it in the wrong tone, or they tell us off when we need encouraging, or they tell us too many things to do and not enough reminders of God's kindness. So we might have bad experiences from people doing that to us. We talked about this in our growth group on Wednesday. We talked about the idea, if I'm on the road to hell, and someone comes and says to me, Joel, get off the road to hell, should I be angry if he doesn't do it well? You know, am I going to be cross with him because he didn't actually say it to me in a nice way? What an idiot I would be if I said, I'm not going to listen to you. You're not saying it nicely. I'm going to carry on this road. Other people in church are like you. They will get things wrong. And they will sometimes speak to the Bible to you wrongly. So we need to be patient with them when they do that. But Proverbs says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. That's a serious warning from Proverbs, isn't it? We need to learn to receive instruction or messages from others, even if it doesn't come in a great way, because they've not done it in the best way. Let me read verse 16 again. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Remember, God loves you just as you are, but God is not going to leave you just as you are. And he's telling you, let the word of Christ dwell among you richly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do love us just as we are. And we want to learn how to let the word of Christ dwell richly amongst us so that we might become more like Jesus. Please teach us how to do this. Please help us to have a go this week at doing something we've not done before. Amen.